You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
International success coach and noted author Constance Arnold delivers life-changing strategies through her own spiritual practices, as well as with best-selling authors and experts that she interviews. Think, Believe, and Manifest is specially designed to empower your mind and words to work for you and to bring about a life you've been dreaming of. And now, here's Constance Arnold.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network. And, of course, I am Constance Arnold, and today I am your grateful host because it is Thanksgiving, and so excited that you have joined me today from all over the world. And if you are listening to this podcast, guess what? Many of you don't even know how you found me. Someone sent you a link. A friend told you about me. But guess what? It is a setup, and the Spirit of God has attracted you here so that you can receive the insight, the answers. You can get your prayers answered, the revelation, the how-tos for this time in your life. Well, how are you doing, everybody? Happy Thanksgiving. In the U.S., it is Thanksgiving weekend. And for my international listeners, I know you know this, but it is a time where we are really grateful and thankful for who we are, what we have, for our country, for how God has blessed us. And it's a time when family and friends come together. And my two brothers came down from Chattanooga, Tennessee, and we had a great time. And you know, my sister made her transition about 3 years ago, and she was always the coordinator of everything. And we really miss her, but we are creating new memories. Oh, wow. Do I have a show for you today? I'm so excited. My guest is Mr. Coop Blackson. And if you have not heard him, you better stay tuned. He's a transformational, I got that, global leader and author. And I heard him about 8 years ago. One of my clients sent me a link, and I said to myself, who is this man? I mean, I was just in awe and just so excited about hearing what he has to say. He's going to be talking about you are the one. That's right. I'm pointing my finger at why you. You sitting on your couch or drinking that coffee, you sitting at your kitchen table. I'm talking about you. So stay tuned. Just really quickly, certainly, I just want to thank all of you for the donations that you have given to me. Thank you so much. I know that this show is blessing you. It's transforming you, right? It is feeding your soul. So I'm going to give you the opportunity to go to my website, fulfillingyourpurpose.com. Click the red donate button while you're on that page. Go to my store and take a look at my products. Of course, all of you know that I am a professional coach and 25 years as a licensed therapist. My clients tell me that they like it that I am a certified licensed psychotherapist. That means I understand all of that stuff that's on the inside of you, and a certified coach. I'm not just a life coach. I had to take a national test about 25 years ago. It was so hard. Thank God I passed it. And so for the new listeners, I've been a marriage and family therapist. What else? Addiction coach. I've been in private practice for years and have trained over 10,000 clients. My goodness. So just this month, these are some accomplishments of some of my clients. I assisted one of my clients to obtain a second mortgage on her business building. So that was quite interesting. I learned so much from my clients. I have been doing a lot of marriage coaching and counseling. I've been doing a lot of work with teenagers. A lot of stuff is going on in schools with teenagers. They have so much social media, etc. And I deal with some celebrity clients who, of course, will remain anonymous. But, you know, I help them to deal with fame, their schedules, and they just want somebody to talk to confidentially. And so if you are ready to create a compelling future, and if you're serious, email me at constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com. If you're ready for the time, the work, and the investment, we'll have a 5-minute chat no matter where you live. We can do FaceTime, we can Skype, etc. And I'll just kind of find out where you are and what you desire, and we'll make it work. How about that? Well, I want to give you 3 tips. I'm going to try to give you 3 tips that I want you to utilize before the end of the year so that you can show up every day. What does show up mean? Show up means that you are doing, being, and becoming everything that you know to be and to do. So these are the 3 things that I want you to do over the next 30 days. And can you believe that it's already, oh my goodness, what's today's date? I don't remember. But the 25th, I got it. Or it's close to the 25th. These are things that I want you to do. These are action steps. These are rituals or habits where you can begin to align yourself. You ready? I'm going to go through them really quick. Number one, over the next 30 days, I want you to do it. Develop the habit of remembering. Now, out of the 3 that I'm going to give to you, you can just choose one and just stick with that if you wish, or you can do all 3 of them. Number one, why is that important? Developing the habit of remembering. And so what I want you to do is remember that memory is a powerful force. How many of you can really remember maybe some negative things in the past and you can talk about them and feel them? And so when you write down all of the good that has happened to you over this year and you begin to remember, aha, I was able to accomplish that. I'm sure many of you have forgotten about some of the things that you accomplished over this year. So I want you to just begin writing. Maybe think about what did I accomplish financially, in my career, with my body, spirituality, etc. And so this is what I put down. I just wrote down a couple of things. I traveled first class this year. I guess about 10 years ago, I made a mantra and I said, I will only travel first class. And when I began to say that, I even began to get free upgrades. And then I just began to travel first class. I began to pay for it. I say that all of the time. I met and connected with some wonderful people doing my training and doing my coaching. I assisted others, my clients who live on 5 continents, to create just a compelling future. I really remained in great health. All glory be to God. I had consistent exercise. I had great sessions with my coach, James Powers. I had expanded enlightenment from my guests and deep connections with them. Can you imagine having just like 40 or 50 guests every year where you meet new people? It's so wonderful. And a deep relationship with God. So why is that important? This is important for you during the next 30 days because it helps you to consider your positive history, and it creates and brings about just excitement and passion. It helps to ignite and fuel your current dreams. And I say it's a catalyst to propel you to your next dreams. Many of you are pregnant with unlimited possibility. So it's going to bring you hope. When you're writing down, you're creating miracles. So does everybody see that? So that's the importance of writing down. Over the next 30 days, you might have 300 or 400 different accomplishments or good. So you're writing down your good for the entire year. You're to write every day. You're to read it. You're to look at it and be grateful for it. All right. The next one is the law of giving or the law of contribution. And I considered this one because Ben Franklin said, he would say every day, what good shall I do or give today? So So his whole mantra or his whole being was, what can I give today? And you know, giving is just a powerful force that opens opportunities for you. So over the next 30 days, what can you give? When you give, you really create a platform for miracles. I think I said last week, whenever I'm getting ready to do something big, I give. I give privately, and I give secretly. And so I want you to think of yourself as a river that flows and flows into other oceans, other lakes, instead of a reservoir that's sort of stagnant. And so everything moves in circles. You've heard me say that. So when you give over the next 30 days, what are you giving? You're giving time. You're giving all of that stuff in your garage, all of that stuff in boxes that you haven't looked in for years, in your house, in your office. You're giving money and you're doing it secretly and privately out of love. So Constance, what does giving do? What does the law of contribution do? What it does is it's a platform. Since everything moves in circles, that's what Einstein said. He calls it the boomerang effect. Isn't that exciting? So that means that it's going to boomerang and come back to you. I believe, or as a matter of fact, I know that giving opens doors. Somebody said to me, I have a Chanel bag. I had a Chanel bag. And they said, what happened in your Chanel bag? I said, I gave it away a couple of years ago. And, you know, they cost thousands of dollars. And I'm not going to tell you how much. And so they said, why? I said, because I just felt led that I wanted to invest it in another young lady's life who at that time could not afford it, but who was really trying. So, you know, I planted that into her life. I like to say invest. I don't like to say give. And man, I've gotten all kind of bags. I love pocketbooks, by the way. I've gotten all kind of bags back from that. So over the next 30 days, if this is the exercise that you're going to choose, you're going to give. All right. And then lastly, the third thing that we're going to do between now and the end of the year, I want you to pick out your favorite book or whatever you're reading right now. And we're going to stay with one chapter over the next 30 days. A great example of that would be Bob Proctor, who's been reading Think and Grow Rich for 40 years. Okay, Bob, you're making us look bad. So why am I doing this? Because many times we just go to the next thing, but we don't really comprehend the principles. So I want you to comprehend the principles. So you're going to choose one book, stay in the same chapter. And so really it's all about learning, meditating, execution, and action, because you already know the power of repetition. So you're going to read, meditate, write down principles, execute. Read, meditate, write down principles, and execute. So why is this important? Because once again, this puts you into the law of momentum. You're showing up every day. You're doing something. You're getting ready for 2017. You know, the Bible talks about the sudden moves of God. It says, and suddenly this person was healed. And suddenly this person was made whole. And so that can happen in your life over the next 30 days. I'll use me for example. The chapter that I'm going to read in The Science of the Mind is chapter 8. That chapter talks about the power of thought. So that means I'm going to read the sections on thought force, choosing your thoughts, thoughts are things, how you set limitations with your thoughts. I'm going to read it, write it down, meditate on it, and act on it. So does everybody understand your assignment? I sound like a professor, don't I? I think all of those years from teaching in college. And so you can choose one or you can choose them all. Okay, so the first one was develop the habit of remembering. That's where you're going to write down all of the good that has happened to you over this entire year. The second one is the law of giving or the law of contribution. That's where you're going to invest in, give, share, get rid of. Understand how that law works and how it opens opportunities and doors for you. And lastly, you're going to read that one chapter in the same book over and over and over over the next 30 days. I am so excited. So shoot me an email and let me know which one you're doing, okay? So let's go to these quick commercials, and then I'm going to be right back with a very powerful guest. So you better stay tuned.
Do you have an upcoming event where you need a dynamic speaker? Constance Arnold is a sought-after keynote speaker that will enlighten the entire audience with proven strategies that are aligned with your organization's vision and mission. An experienced speaker for major Fortune 500 companies, Constance has entertained audiences with inspiring change. Constance would love to make your next event an extraordinary success. Contact her today at constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com.
For the past 30 years, Constance Arnold has coached clients globally in the areas of relationships, wealth, and career. Her vast clinical background gives her extraordinary understanding of human behavior to accelerate manifestation. Every coaching client receives proven action plans to create change from the inside out. Constance will be right by your side. Talk to her today at constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com.
Well, I'm back, and I'm so grateful to have this opportunity to interview who I consider to be a very powerful man. As most of you know, I'm pretty discerning about people who are really making a powerful impact on the planet. And my very special guest today is Mr. Coote Blackson, and he is a charismatic visionary and transformational teacher. One of my clients told me about him a couple of years ago, and I visited him on YouTube, and I was utterly amazed. He has a powerful story that he's going to share, and he has a new book out, You Are the One, A Bold Adventure in Finding Purpose, Discovering the Real You and Loving Fully. And so I'm just going to bring him on and let him share about who he is and share with the listeners all over the globe just some powerful principles about shifting and transforming from the inside out. So, Coote Blackson, welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Thank you for having me, Constance. It's been looking forward to it tremendously.
So what can I even say about you? So let's just go ahead and get started. I was praying. I'm like, God, how can I even have questions for this man, because he is so full of wisdom and knowledge. So just tell our listeners just a little bit about who you are and your journey, and then we're going to talk about your book.
Sure. Yeah, okay. I was born in Ghana, West Africa. My father's from Ghana. My mother's Japanese. I grew up in London. So I've always felt like a citizen of the world. And there were really two things that I think impacted me tremendously from a very young age that's really impacted where I am today. I remember being around age 5, age 6, feeling a deep calling to serve humanity. I just felt a deep desire to make a difference in people's lives, you know, and I didn't really know why. I just knew that that's what I was meant to do. But I remember being around age 6, age 7, being a chubby kid lost in the crowd, and literally seeing a crippled woman crawling on the floor, on the ground, and she picks up the sand that this man walks on, wipes it on her face, and stands up. And so you could call that a miracle. And right. week after week, I grew up seeing blind people see and deaf people hear. And the same man whose sand she picked up would look at a woman in a wheelchair and say, you know, put his hands on her and say, stand up, look a woman in a man in crutches and say, throw your crutches away. So I grew up around these miracles. This man was my father. He built about 300 churches in Ghana, West Africa. He built a huge church in London. He was a man of faith, a very spiritual innovator and visionary. I was blessed to grow up with him. That impacted my life a lot. And when I was 8, I started to speak in my father's churches. And when I was 14, I was ordained as a minister, given the mandate to take over his entire spiritual organization. And I knew, I'll be honest, Constance, I knew that from that moment, I knew that that wasn't my path, that I knew that that wasn't my destiny, but I went along with it. I mean, I wanted to make a difference, but I just knew something wasn't fully aligned, but I didn't have the courage to tell my father how I felt. I didn't have the courage to confront him and say, this is not my truth. This is not what I want, primarily because I was afraid. I was afraid I would lose his love. I was afraid I would be outcast. I was afraid to rock the boat. I was afraid to be alone, to be abandoned, all of those things. And even though I knew the truth deep down, so I went along with it. And for 4 years, went through tremendous turmoil, knowing the truth. And I think many times we know the truth in our hearts. Like, I knew the truth. Many times we know the truth. Maybe the truth is, for those listening, you know, the truth might be I'm working a job that I hate that is not aligned with my soul, but we're doing it just for the paycheck, even though we know the truth that it's not right for us. Or maybe we're in a relationship that we know is long expired, but we're just in it to save face. What will people think? Society, standards, the fact that we have children and we put so much time into it, even though we know this is absolutely not supportive, conducive to our highest evolution. So sometimes we know the truth in our hearts, but we don't follow the truth. We don't listen to the truth. And you know that old saying, the truth will set you free. But it might first rock the boat or rock the very foundation of your life. And sometimes we're afraid of owning the truth because we're afraid of what that will mean. We're afraid of the consequences and the impact of owning the truth. But I believe that nothing is worth compromising the truth of our soul. Nothing is worth compromising the depth of what we know inside. And so for me, I went along with my father's wishes. And what I found is there's often no shortage. No shortage of people in our lives that will think they know what is best for us, that will impose their will, their desire upon us, that will project upon you their unfulfilled dreams and expectations. So, you know, the question I ask those listening, the question I have to ask myself is, whose life are you living? Whose life are you really, really, really living? Are you living your life? Are you living the life that you were meant to live? And if not, why not? And if not now, then when? And so, when I was 18, I finally had the conversation with my father and told him I wasn't taking over, which was very difficult. But I realized that if I didn't follow my truth, you know, then I would not only be living someone else's life. I might be successful by his standards. I might be successful by the world's standards. But if I didn't have myself, if I didn't have my soul, if I wasn't living in alignment, then what do I have if I don't have myself? And realized if I follow his path for my life, then effectively I felt like I'd be dying. And so yeah. I decided nothing was worth it, and had the conversation, decided to leave everything behind, and left my father's organization. Not because I didn't love him, just I just had a different path in my lifetime, and I just chose to honor my path. And that's when I won a green card in the lottery, came to the U.S. With $1,000, two suitcases, one suitcase full of books and tapes and of inspirational, motivational books and tapes, the other suitcase filled with clothes, came to the U.S. following a dream. And that's what brought me here, and went and studied with many teachers, masters, healers. Then I traveled the world in search of answers. You know, why are we here? What's the purpose of life? Went to places like Bali, Indonesia. Went to Japan, studied with monks in Japan and Thailand. Went to Israel, studied with rabbis. Went to holy sites, and just really in search. Went to India in search of trying to understand this whole thing called life. You know, so I believe, last thing I'll say, I believe that what really shifted my life was my willingness to tell the truth. The thing that often keeps us stuck and keeps us from living a truly fulfilled life are all the ways that we are lying to ourselves, all the ways we are not telling the truth to ourselves about what we really know inside, what we really feel inside. And I think to really shift our lives, we must be willing to tell the truth. So I just invite everyone who's listening today to sit with these simple questions. Number one, where am I lying to myself? Where am I really lying to myself? What are the truths that I'm not telling? What am I pretending to not know? What is it costing me? What is it costing me to not tell the truth? What are the payoffs that I have for lying, for not telling the truth? And then last two questions are really looking at, you know, what's my deepest fear? What am I really afraid will happen? What am I really afraid will happen if I tell the truth? Because many times we're afraid of this big thing that will happen and we blow it up in our minds. But if we can face our deepest fear, if we can just confront it, face it head on and make peace with it, then it starts to lose its power over us. And many times the thing we're most afraid will happen is what ends up happening is not nearly at the scale or the level of what we've made up in our mind and in our negative future fantasy. So the more we can face our fear, the more we free ourselves. The last thing is, what amazing thing might actually happen if we tell the truth? You know, because we're often so focused on the fear, on the negative, that we forget what incredible thing might happen. And I think that's really important as well. So those are a few things.
Just a few, right? You know, and so just for listeners who might begin to ask themselves those questions, you know, and once they answer them, it sounds like it takes courage and real honesty to move on that. I just know personally in my own life, like you, I came from sort of the same background, but I knew there was more to God and more to life and more to spirit. Mm. And so for listeners who may feel, wow, I know this, but don't have the courage, what would that look like for them to face themselves with that truth and then begin to move into a different shift inside out?
Yeah, honestly, I don't know what it would look like for each person because each person is unique. But I would invite you, if you're listening, number one, firstly, to realize that you do have the courage. That we often think that we have to have no fear. We have to get rid of our fear in order to take that step. We have to get rid of the fear in order to own the truth. No, what we need is courage. Courage is not the absence of fear. You might feel fear. You might be terrified. I was terrified. But there came a point in knowing that nothing was worth compromising my spirit, nothing was worth compromising my soul. So what we need is courage. And courage is, I feel afraid. But I feel afraid. I'm terrified of what might happen. But I'm still going to be honest and do and take this action anyway. So that's the first thing, is realizing we have the courage. We have to tap into it. We have to live it. We have to access it. We have to exercise it. You know, we have to step into living that courage. And living the courage in and of itself takes courage, but that doesn't mean you won't have any fear. So that's the first thing I'll say. Second thing is, we have to be willing to ruthlessly look at our current reality, be willing to ruthlessly look at what we feel inside and own the truth. Many times we're afraid of owning the truth, but if you're willing to own the truth, even if you're not willing to do anything even if you're not willing to take action on it right now, just the willingness to own the truth will make a huge difference. The truth might be, I'm in a relationship that is abusive and is not working. Rather than pretending, rather than rationalizing, rather than pretending, rather than settling, rather than distracting oneself, be willing to own the truth and sit with the truth and burn in the truth, even if you're not willing to do anything about it. Because if you sit with the truth, I'm in a relationship that I hate. I'm in a relationship that is not serving who I am, that is abusive, that doesn't work, that I'm not in love with my partner anymore. We've grown apart. This is not an aligned relationship for me. And to feel that, to feel the pain of that, many times we don't want to tell the truth, and so we avoid the pain of what we really feel. Your willingness to feel the truth, your willingness to feel the pain and burn in the truth, even if you don't do anything about it, will move you in the direction, and then it's only a matter of time until you start doing something. So that's the second thing. The third thing is, I would say, if you're in that situation and you're afraid and you're like, oh my God, I don't know if I can do it, remove all the distractions from your life. One of the things that keeps us stuck are distractions. Distractions can be in the form of friendships, friends that really reinforce our current reality and keep us stuck, friends that really don't want us to grow and evolve, friends that keep us down. Remove them. Number two, remove all distractions of things like social media, where we distract ourselves. We feel a little fear, let me just get on social media. We feel a little fear, let me watch television. We feel a little fear, let me go shopping. We feel a little fear, let me work it away. Whatever the distractions are, because we all have distractions, I invite you to unplug those distractions from your life, because then you'll be left with having to really feel deeply what is most in there. Sometimes we're afraid to remove the distractions, because then we'll be left with having to feel the truth of what we know, and that's what we're most afraid of. And if we have to feel the truth of what we know, then we might have to, it might be painful, or we might have to do something about it. So be willing to feel the truth of what, be willing to remove the distractions and feel your truth. To me, that's one of the keys, is to feel the truth. And that's what I would say is a beginning. And then from there, we have to take action. And look, no one said it was going to be easy. You know, when I owned the truth that following my father's footsteps and his vision for my life, when I owned that truth for myself, it wasn't easy. Sometimes we have this idea that when we are following what our soul's guidance is, when we are following our soul's purpose for our life, then life is easy. It's simple. Everything unfolds. And I believe that's not necessarily the case. When we're following our truth, when we're following our soul, deeper souls knowing our path, sometimes the way is very challenging. Sometimes it's more difficult on the surface for a couple of reasons. Number one, we're being tested to see if we really want that. Number two, we have to face the challenges, the experience, relationships that is literally like the spiritual gymnasium where we have to lift the dumbbell, the weights, to become, to go on the journey of having to become and evolve into the person who is capable of fulfilling the dream and the vision and the purpose that we've been given. Sometimes I believe dreams are evolutionary. We're given a dream or a vision right now, but who we are is not necessarily fully, we haven't grown into and we haven't developed into the person that's actually fully capable of fulfilling that dream and vision right now at this particular point in time. So sometimes we have to face difficult experiences and challenges and challenging situations that really stretch us and grow us and force us to step up and become who we truly are meant to be, the person capable of fulfilling the dream and the vision. And so if you're in the midst of a challenging situation, it might be a little scary. If you're midst of a challenging situation and you're wondering, can I do this? Can I fulfill this? I believe that if you weren't ready, you would not have attracted this situation, this relationship, this experience into your life right now. So just trust that you're ready. You're ready by virtue of the fact that you're in it, and realize and celebrate this moment. Celebrate that you are being prepared. Celebrate that you are being ripened. Celebrate that you are being cooked by the divine chef, by the infinite itself. You're being cooked and prepared, sauteed with different spices of life to be served to the world. Your gifts are being prepared to be served to the world so you can make the difference and do what you're here to do.
Powerful. So, you know, I know you talk a lot about you are the one, and you really help people in the process of transforming from the inside out and giving to the world instead of taking. So what's your take on the law of attraction and manifestation versus someone who serves others and the world?
Well, what's my take on the law of attraction? Well, number one, you know, everything is energy for sure. But I believe that, you know, you can think positive thoughts, you can do affirmations, I'm healthy, I'm wealthy, you know, the car, the house, rah, rah. But if you are not, here's the challenge. Then this is often why many of my clients that come to my events and seminars say, "Kud, I'm doing the affirmations, I'm practicing the law of attraction, I'm saying the affirmations, I'm acting it, I'm walking it." Yes, but many times people haven't become it themselves at the level of consciousness, at the depth of their being. They're saying it on the surface. They are affirming on the surface, but the depth of their consciousness, the level of who they are, is not in vibrational alignment with the very relationship, experience, situation that they are seeking to experience and manifest in their life. See, I believe that it's not about manifestation. It's about alignment. It's about removing. You don't have to make anything happen. Everything's already happening. The same intelligence, the same consciousness that birthed the sun, the moon, the stars, all of existence, that birthed every element of creation, is breathing and living, 7 billion people. The same consciousness, intelligence, whatever you want to call it, life force, is the same intelligence that is manifesting everything. It's manifesting all of existence. It knows how to manifest your life, your destiny, if you just get yourself out the way. So I believe that it's not so much about making things happen or manifesting, but it's really about removing the layers of illusion, of beliefs, of pain, of hurt, of conditioning, removing those layers of illusions that cloud the flow, removing so that you can bring yourself into alignment. You can bring yourself into alignment, then you don't no longer have to make something happen. You are now truly vibrationally, not just intellectually affirming it in your mind, but you're truly vibrationally in sync because of who you have become, not just what you're saying or thinking anymore. It's about who you have become. And when you become in alignment, then I believe life flows. And then I believe the effortless manifestation of what is highest for you unfolds. See, here's the other thing I'll say. Mm-hmm. Many times we are setting goals and dreams, and we think we know what we want. I want this house, I want this car, I want this job. But we're determining what we thought we wanted or what we think we want based on who we think we are. But we're not necessarily in touch with who we really are. And if you're not necessarily in touch with who we really are, you're trying to manifest things in the world, but you're not in touch with who you are. Why? Because we're conditioned. So let me just take it back a step, and then I'll bring it back forward to answer your question even more directly. See, from the moment we're born free. If you look at a child is born free. A child is unconditioned. A child is in touch with the divine nature. A child is free-flowing. A child is just in the zone, in the flow. A child will jump on a table and sing and scream and dance. It doesn't care. How do I look? Am I fat? Can I sing? It doesn't care. It's not Celine Dion or Gladys Knight. It just sings freely, expressing the divine essence flowing through them, you know. But all of a sudden, two things happen. We start getting conditioned. We deal with our parents, some of which are crazy, some of which are interesting, some of which are just challenged. They're just doing the best that they can do based on their current level of evolution. But we often, as children, have been born into certain situations, that some of which are painful, some of which are challenging, some of which are hurtful. Pain, abuse, trauma, neglect, abandonment. We all have our stories and situations. And so in response to functioning, dealing, and surviving our situation as children, we start to disconnect from the pain, from the experiences around us. We start to shut parts of ourselves down. We start to numb parts of ourselves to not feel the pain of our experiences. So it becomes a coping mechanism. And as a result, we suppress all of our feelings, and layers upon layers of our unfelt suppressed feelings build up that cover up our true nature. So now we have all these layers of junk, of suppressed emotion that are covering up our true self-expression. So that's number one. Number two, then we start learning a way of being, you know, dealing with our parents, life, our caretakers. We start learning a way of being to go out into the world, and we learn, we start developing a persona, a pattern, a character, a mask that develops into a personality, and we start learning a way of being of, who do I need to be in order for my parents to love me? Who do I need to be in order to get love, validation, approval, be loved, not be alone? Who do I need to be? And we start developing this character, this persona. And then we hold tightly onto this way of being. And it becomes an identity that we grip tightly onto. And then we call this me. No, it's just who I am. This is just me. It's just who I am. It's me. It's who I am. And I always say, it's who you are, who you really are, or is it simply who you've been conditioned to be? So the degree to which we are conditioned is the degree to which we don't have free choice. So even if we're like, well, I'm going to practice the law of attraction because this is what I want. The question is, if we're conditioned and if we're not in touch with who we really are, then is what we really want really what we want, or is it just an aspect of our conditioning trying to maybe get an unmet need met? So even if we attract that thing into our life, many times people attract things into their lives and realize, is this it? Is this really what I wanted? I thought this was going to make me happy. So for me, it's not simply about helping you get, my work is not simply about helping you get more of what you thought you wanted based on who you thought you were. It's about helping you get in touch with who you are. Because when you get in touch with who you are, you bring yourself into alignment. And as you're in alignment, then what starts to manifest in your life becomes truly the highest potential and possibility for the evolution of your soul. You bring yourself into the flow. And when you're in the flow, things manifest and unfold with much more grace and ease. So if you are not manifesting goals, dreams, and desires, two things. Either you need to clear away layers of conditioning, pain, hurt, belief systems, old stuff, or what you say you want really isn't in alignment with the highest ever, the highest destiny for your soul at this particular moment in time. It's just what your mind, what your ego thinks is, that we then have to check. We have to then reassess what it is. So for me, as we clear ourselves, as we clear away the layers, we bring ourselves into alignment, the question shift. The question in the first stage is, what do I want? What do I want? What do I want? But if, again, who is the I that wants what? So that's the first question, what do I want? But as you clear yourself, bring yourself into alignment, the question becomes, what wants me? What wants to express through me? What wants to manifest through me? And you open yourself to life. And what I mean by that, last thing I'll say, is what I mean by that is, I believe that your dreams, your desires, your visions, your goals, truly, when they're authentic, they choose you. Your dreams choose you because you are the perfect person able to fulfill the dream based on your destiny, based on your pain, your hurt, your successes, based on everything you become. Your dreams choose you for a reason, because you're the perfect person. And that being the case, inherent in your dreams are already the seed for its fulfillment. That being the case, your dreams don't belong to you. They belong to life. And you, me, you, we are all simply the vessels for life to manifest itself. Our job is not to manifest. Our job is to get ourselves out of the way, to get our limitations, our persona, our ego out of the way, and become the vessels for life to manifest itself through us. And if that's the case, when we realize this isn't my vision, this isn't my goal, this goal belongs to life, this goal belongs to the universe, it's life's vision, then we realize we don't have to do it. We just have to show up. We have to simply say yes. We have to make ourselves available. We have to do our part, do our work. But then we realize we are just the vessels for the manifestation of life to move through us. Then we are used. That's when miracles happen. You look at Martin Luther King, look at Mandela, you look at Gandhi, you look at Mother Teresa, you look at some of the great ones, they of their own power didn't manifest and fulfill those miracles and those visions. And they just allowed, they surrendered themselves to who they really were. They surrendered themselves to the life force, the intelligence, God, the infinite, whatever you want to label it. And they were used in such a way and manifested through in such a way that miracles happened, and they moved the world.
So true. Are you surprised how life has expressed itself through you?
Am I surprised? You know,
at your life and what you're doing and who you are.
You know, I can't say I'm surprised, like, oh, I had no idea, you know, because I've always felt the inkling since I was a young boy that I'd be reaching a lot of people. And to be honest, I feel like I'm just getting started. You know, I really feel like everything up until this point in my life was just preparation. It was just, there were things, Constance, that I wanted to have happen maybe 10 years ago, maybe 12 years ago, whether it was a TV show, now I'm in development for a TV show, whether it was my book. I was offered a book deal, you know, when was it? Six years ago I was offered something. And even before that I was offered something. It just, I said no, the timing wasn't right. And I believe, honestly, so I'm not surprised because I feel like I'm just warming up. But here's what I feel. Many times when our visions don't happen, our goals don't happen based on our own timetable, our ego's timetable of when we think they should happen. Why isn't it not happening now? Why is it not happening this moment? Why is my soulmate not here? Why is my book not happening? Why is the money not happening now? Many times we think that's a denial from the universe that it's not happening. But sometimes I find that our dreams and visions not happening in this moment is actually God's grace. It's actually grace of the universe, because we are not currently ready yet. Our vessel, our vehicle, our personality is not actually ready, fully cooked to fulfill the dream and the vision that we've been given at this particular time. So I look at things, the way things have happened, and I couldn't have necessarily predicted the way things have happened, but I'm not surprised by things happening. And I really feel like things are just warming up, and I really feel like, I feel like I'm really ready now to fulfill my true destiny, my true dharma, my true calling on this planet. But I wasn't really ready 10 years ago. So I believe we all have to trust the divine timing. We all have to trust life's timing. The universe has been around a lot longer than us. So if you're someone and your dreams haven't happened at the timing that you're thinking, your soulmate hasn't shown up, things aren't quite going according to your timing, surrender that. Give up your sense of your timing and trust the timing and the flow of life. Trust that everything is working. The seasons, the spring and the summer comes after the spring, and the autumn comes after the summer, and the winter comes. It's just, you know, it's just the same intelligence that's functioning. The seasons and life is the same intelligence that's doing us. So I think the more we can, key word, surrender control. Let go of control. Let go of how we think things should be, and trust the unfolding of life through us. To me, this is where the magic happens. So yeah. I'm not surprised, but I'm also, the more I let go, the more I realize I'm not in control. The more I let go, then the more I realize it's just a cycle. The more I let go, the more I realize I'm not in control. The more I realize I'm not in control, the more I let go, the more I, and it just, and then the more magic happens, the more room there is for life to do its thing through you, through me, through us all. That's where life then often unfolds way more. There are moments, and I'll admit, that life unfolds way more than I could expect in a given moment, because then we're not just living in the mind. You know, the mind thinks it knows. The mind is constantly calculating and strategizing. And you know, I believe that the true intelligence and the power of the infinite, the true intelligence and power of our soul is bigger than our mind. It's bigger than anything we can write in a book. It's bigger than anything we can put on a poster board. It's bigger than anything we can visualize, because the mind is limited, because the mind is conditioned. But our soul is infinite. And so for me, I would invite each person to let go of how you think your life should be, to let go of the timing of what you think should be in your life, and to truly open. My prayer has become more and more, you know, constant. Here's my prayer. My mantra has become more and more, in a given situation, in a given relationship, in a given moment, I ask for the highest good to be done in this situation. Mm-hmm. I ask for the high. I'll do my best. Look, we have to do our best, give everything we've got. But more and more, my prayer, rather than like, this is really what I want, I said, universe, I ask for the highest good to be done here. I invoke the highest good, because you can rest assured when you are aligning, not just with your mental concept of what you think should happen, when you are aligning with the highest good, you are aligning with the highest good, you are opening to infinite possibilities, you are opening to an infinite viewpoint. You're not limiting it to just this happening, you're opening to the highest good. And to me, that's become my prayer. Then on some level, the universe will bless you and maybe surprise you in ways you can't imagine.
And so, Coot, you don't seek after things at all. You basically every day surrender yourself to God, to the universe, and allow spirit to work through you to others. And what you desire comes to you, because that's who you are.
Yeah, I mean, I don't seek or chase after things, mm-hmm. but I open myself. This is the shift. I believe this is the next level. It's the new paradigm. Okay. I open myself to listening, to attuning. What is it that's seeking to happen through me? What is it that's seeking to unfold right now? And I attune myself to that. So I might then attune myself and go, okay, this vision, this book, this goal. But it's not just, I think it should happen because everyone else is doing, or I think it should happen based on my mind. It really comes from a quiet depth of my soul. And that's the difference, is rather than me seeking, what's seeking to manifest through me? Then it arises from the depth of the soul, depth of the being, the depth of consciousness. And when our desires arise from the depth of the impulse of life, then we have the support of nature. Then we are working in flow with nature. Then we are working in flow with consciousness. Then we are working truly in flow with the divine. Then we have the power of the intelligence, of the life force moving through us, rather than just trying to make something happen with our limited ego power. So I don't seek, I just seek to open myself to listening and attuning and aligning my actions with what is it that's seeking to happen. That's, I believe, the highest way. then we have behind us, through us, working on our behalf, a mighty force. Could Mother Teresa have done what she did just based on her ego power? Could Martin Luther King just did what he did based on just a little desire? Could Mandela have done what he did just based on his ego goal? No. They tapped into a greater force, and that force is what moved them. That force is what inspired them. That force is what kept them going. And that force is the very force of what we are at our depth. But that force is what orchestrated all the people, situations, and experiences to bring about the fulfillment of the highest destiny. That's what we must do. Don't chase, become. To me, the law of attraction is not to chase, but it's to become. And when you become, that life will move through you.
So powerful. So let's talk about how can listeners get your book. You know, I read a book a week. Whoever I'm interviewing, I read their book. And when your book, when your PR person sent me your book, it came in the mail, and it was a beautiful day here in Atlanta. And I read your book in one afternoon. I never do that. I was so moved. I said, man, this guy is coming straight from the spirit. So just talk a little bit more about your book and how can the listener get your book. I'm going to strongly encourage all of you to get his book. You hear this man, you can feel his spirit. You can feel the how authentic he is, how real he is. You know when something is real. And so he is real. And I was so moved by your book. And that's why even before the recording, I said to you, thank you for who you are.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, so, you know, Constance, that means just it means so much to me, because for me, it wasn't just a book. I put my heart and soul into writing this. I waited intentionally a long time. I waited intentionally a long time because I didn't want, you know, everyone told me, just write a book. It doesn't, you know, these days people say, just write a book. Doesn't matter what's in it. It's just a great PR calling card. And to be honest, I didn't want to write just another book that was a five-step book or another self-help book, a regurgitation, you know, of what's already been done. I wanted to write something that was pure from my soul that would really make a difference. And so I waited a long time, put my heart and soul into it. I'm really honored and inspired that people are being inspired around the world, especially in the U.S. For right now, by this book. And for me, I don't believe it's my book. I believe I'm a servant to the book, because the book, You Are the One, is not the book I thought I was going to write. I thought I was going to write another book until I sold the book. And then my publisher asked me to do 9 rewrites. And then, you know, I went through the process myself of realizing, okay, what is this book seeking to become? There's what I thought I wanted to write, but what is this book seeking to become? And that was a very humbling process. So the book is called You Are the One, A Bold Adventure in Finding Purpose, Discovering the Real You, and Loving Fully. And you can find it if you go to Amazon, just put in my name and the book, You Are the One, or go to www.youaretheonebook.com. You can order it there. You'll receive many free gifts that I'm giving away that will help you integrate the concepts of the book. But essentially, in a nutshell, my inspiration for the book was seeing how so many of us were looking outside of ourselves for answers. We're looking outside of ourselves to the government, to our parents, to, you know, people outside of ourselves to try and teach us, tell us who we should be. And, you know, my whole impetus and intention was to remind people of the power inside of themselves and realize, look, no one's coming. The government's not going to save you, you know, especially in these times. You know, the government's not going to save you. Your parents can't do it for you. Your friends can't carry you the whole time, the whole way. Ultimately, if you're waiting for something, stop waiting, because you're here, you're the one, and God, the universe, has given you and I, each of us, everything that we need. The resources, the creativity. There is a living, breathing miracle that's happening inside of each of us right now. We've been given the resources we need to fulfill our destiny. And I believe that it's our time now. It's our time now. The great ones, Martin Luther King, Gandhi, Jesus, Buddha, Bruce Lee, Muhammad Ali, Bob Marley, you know, Mother Teresa, the great ones, all in their own unique way, opened the door, paved the way, showed us the way of for what is possible for us as human beings to attain in the realm of performance, in the realm of intelligence, in the realm of loving. They showed us the possibility for our lives. And so I believe we must each now step into this next level. We must each now take on the mantle, take on the challenge. We must each now rise to our own greatness, and it's inside of us. And so this is why I say, look, no one's coming. You're here. You and I, we all have the power. You are the one. And that's the whole impetus of the book. And it's a realization that, look, no one's going to knock on your door and give you $1 million or build your business. Oprah is not going to knock on your door and say, I've been looking for you. Just, you know, I'm going to make your life happen. You know, no one's going to knock on your door and say, you're 30 pounds overweight. I'm going to go to the gym on your behalf, exercise for you so you can lose the weight. No one's going to do it. And what we have to give up, what I had to give up when I first came to the U.S., after working really hard and really feeling like nothing was working for me. You know, I was struggling. I was, you know, Constance, I was literally living in a tiny apartment that was, I mean, I could just barely fit a mattress that I pulled off of the street because I had no money. I was literally, I'm ashamed to say, but I was literally, you know, stealing food, stealing bread from the supermarket because I couldn't afford dinner. I mean, that's the struggle, the situation I was in. But I had a dream, you know, and I remember one day sitting in my room, kind of mad at the world, a little bitter, because I felt like I was following my heart. And maybe there's people that they feel like they've done everything. They feel like they're following their path. They're listening to God. They're following their souls, and life still isn't working. I was in that situation. And one thing I realized that was an epiphany for me that I didn't realize was this moment when I was complaining and mad at the world, mad at my dad, mad at God, because I didn't feel supported by life. I realized how entitled I was. And one thing I realized I had to give up was this idea that no one owes me anything. Mm. When I gave up my sense of entitlement and tapped into radical gratitude, tapped into radical responsibility, sometimes it's scary to take on the responsibility for our lives because then we realize we have no more excuse. So I invite each person to really sit with, where are you not being responsible for your life? Where are you playing the victim? Where are you abdicating your responsibility to someone else? Because when you take on the responsibility, you realize you don't have any excuse. It's this person's fault. It's my father's fault. It's my mother's fault. It's society's fault. No, I believe we've been given so much, hands, ears, eyes, so much health. There is literally trillions of miracles happening inside of us each moment. And I remember being in a moment where I felt just kind of not loved by God or the universe. And I had this epiphany of that every second, every breath I take is living proof of love of life. Life is loving me so profoundly in every second. And when I realized that, I was filled with gratitude, and I've done my best to live that gratitude ever since. So I believe that we're living in intense times right now, Constance. We're living in intense times, the election, these intense times. And one thing is we can look outside of ourselves to blame, but I believe right now more than ever, we must all stand up and vote for ourselves. We must all stand up and vote for love. We must all stand up and elect ourselves into the power and responsibility for our own lives and do our part to share our love and give our gifts. And I believe that, you know, perhaps the greatest gift we can give the world is being ourselves fully. Perhaps the greatest gift we can give the world is giving who we truly are to the world.
Wow. Amazing. You are amazing. Thank you, Coot. I know you have another interview. So we're going to close here, but let me just say once again how much I appreciate who you are and who you've become. And you are really exhibit A of your book. You're living that. We feel it. We know it. And you are an inspiration to all of us. And thank you so much. And God bless you.
Thank you so much, Constance. It's been a real honor. I feel your heart, and just keep up the amazing work you're doing.
Thank you. Well, once again, this is Constance Arnold with the Think, Believe, and Manifest Talk Show. And as I say every week, God loves you. You know I love you. And remember this, today is the best day of your life. Be grateful.
Thank you for listening to Think, Believe, and Manifest. Constance Arnold will be back next week with another great show just for you. For more information, please visit fulfillingyourpurpose.com.